It's always difficult to jump in the middle of a conversation. That's always a difficult thing to do because context is everything, isn't it? Context is everything. And thus, with your understanding that clearly, you can imagine all the more how difficult and how problematic it can be to jump in the middle of a sentence. But that's what we're doing this morning. In Ephesians 6, starting in verse 18 in our text this morning, we're jumping in not only in the middle of a text, we're jumping in the middle of a sentence. For this sentence actually begins earlier on in the text that I read earlier. We're going to begin and take a look at the text of 18 through 20 in Ephesians 6 this morning, but I would like to begin by backing up a little bit so that we do understand the flow of thought, so that we do, as we need to do, understand the context leading up to verse 18 in our text this morning, to understand the context. So I'm going to have you back up all the way to verse 10 of Ephesians 6 this morning. Don't worry. I will move through this quickly. But I do need to set the context for you. It is so important for understanding our text this morning. As we do back up to verse 10, what we see in verse 10 in the following verses is one primary command that is given to the Ephesian believers, and that is to be strong and to stand. Be strong and to stand. Hence my prayer earlier. Hence my words earlier, even in our service. And my words again now are just echoing Paul's primary command in the broader text is to be strong and to stand. Verse 11. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then, just in case the Ephesian believers or the Fellowship Baptist believers are missing it, the next verse, stand therefore. Even I can quickly come to the conclusion of what Paul wants me to understand this morning. He's telling the Ephesian believers, he's telling us, the necessity of standing. Of being strong and standing is the exhortation, is the command. But why? Why? Continuing on in the context, there's a couple of other things I need to have you note. Why? Why is it necessary to stand? Why is that important? Look at verse 12 and you get the answer to that. For, my New King James says, because, stand because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is why, O Ephesians, that is why, Fellowship Baptist Church, it is so important that you be strong. It is so important that you stand. That's why. So the final question, I told you I'd work through it quickly. The final question in the context is how? We are to stand. Why are we to stand? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then tell me, Paul, how am I to stand? And here's the answer. The answer comes in verse 14 and following. By putting on the armor of God. It's first introduced in verse 11. But then he specifically talks about it in verse 14 and following. To put on the armor of God. Again, note, this armor of God is not actual military hardware. Not actual, literal, physical, obviously, military hardware. The hardware of war. But also note what else it is not. Paul is not telling them in light of this battle that they are in. For that is what he's already told them. That's the why, remember. You're in a battle, a constant battle, a constant spiritual battle, a spiritual battle against the forces of spiritual darkness. Therefore, stand. And therefore, in order to stand, put on this armor of God. But this armor of God is not literal physical hardware. It is not swords and spears, but rather It is spiritual armor. And I was beginning to say a moment ago, and I return to now, it is not only not physical, literal, military hardware, as we readily understand, but also, note you, it is also not spectacular and miraculous signs and wonders that are our weapons in that warfare. Rather, it is the simple, if I can say that, but all important and wonderful armor of truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God. Put that on, Paul says. Put that on, because that is the way and the only way that you will stand and be strong. And why do you need to stand and be strong? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You are in spiritual warfare. You are in a battle continuously. And therefore, Paul gives the instructions, the command, the instructions, the explanation that he does in verses 10 through 17. And now we launch into our text, because that is not all. Our text this morning in verse 18 is a continuation of how we are to stand. How we are to stand. We are to stand by putting on and wearing the armor of God. But, and now we launch into this morning, but we put that armor on and we continually wear that armor, quite simply but vitally importantly, through prayer, through prayer, through prayer. The armor is of no avail to us, of no avail to us without prayer. And thus our text this morning, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. As I mentioned the context, backing up to verses 10 through verse 17, as I mentioned the context, I drew your attention to, but I could see even before I uttered the words drawing your attention to it, I could see that you were already noting it yourself. And that is the repetition Paul gives in verses 10 through 17 of stand, stand, stand. Well, now again, in our text this morning, in verse 18, there's another repetition that I hope you heard with your ears as we read it, and I hope you're noting with your eyes. If not, let me note it with you. All is the repetition there in verse 18. So let's consider, as we begin looking at our text, the four alls that Paul offers up here to understand more of how it is we are to pray. First of all, we are to pray always and at all times. Always and at all times, depending upon what your English version says. We are to pray at all times. We are to pray continually, in other words. Now, Paul's saying this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, very clearly. But we don't need Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, to know that we need to pray continually. Because throughout the New Testament, we're told to do just that again and again and again. In many places, many verses, many texts of the New Testament. And in many different ways, we are told to pray continuously. Romans 12, verse 12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4, 2, continue steadfastly in prayer. In Luke 18, starting in verse 1, Jesus told them a parable, verse 1 says, of Luke 18. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to lose heart in their praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I could go on and on this morning, and the number of instances in the New Testament that not only say pray, but say pray continually. So the first all, as we return to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 of the four alls, is pray at all times. Pray continually. Why? Why? Why do we pray at all times? This is important, folks. Because we are at all times at war. The next few minutes is not the only time of the week when you are at war. All the way through the week, 24/7, as we say, you are at war. You are at war. Not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. You are at war at all times, therefore you need to pray at all times. You need to put on the armor at all times, but you need to put it on with prayer at all times. There's all number one. And we move on to all number two. Paul says in verse 18, praying always, and then he goes on, with all prayer and supplication. How are we to pray, Paul? We're to pray with all prayer. Well, thank you, Paul. But that is very helpful. What does he mean by that? Pray with all prayer and supplication. Pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, some would approach this second all in this way. We would spend a little bit of time distinguishing between prayer and supplication. And there may be merit in that. I'm not discounting that. But my approach is slightly different this morning, for I think that Paul is making himself clear, even without clearly distinguishing between prayer and supplication and other forms of prayer. Because these are really overlapping terms, prayer and supplication. I think Paul is speaking in this way, all prayer and supplication, because he's making his point rather clear. And that's the second all, that we are to pray with all manner of prayer. All manner of prayer. As we engage the enemy in that spiritual battle, we must engage him with all manner of prayer. Just like the warrior goes into battle, at least in this day, back here in the first century, would go into battle with their spear, not only with their spear, but with their spear, and with their sword, and with their shield, and with the rest of their armor. We also go into battle, always with the complete armor, but also engaging in all manner of prayer. What do I mean by all manner of prayer? I mean everything from, God help me, to laboring all the way through the night with tears coming down your face, all the way through the darkness of the night, through to the morning, wrestling, praying, wrestling in prayer, all manner of prayer. We are to pray at all times. We are to pray with all manner of prayers. And then the third all, still in verse 18. We are to pray to this end, verse 18, with all perseverance. With all perseverance. If we are going to pray at all times, what do we need? Perseverance. We need perseverance. We need to pray with all perseverance. Earlier in the service, and I can express this thought of Paul's in no way better than by simply using the words of our Lord. There should be no surprise in that. And so instead of speaking a great deal about this myself, I'm simply going to reference a text of Scripture that I've already referenced briefly in our message this morning. And now I want to read you the full account. And that is back in Luke 18, to what is sometimes called the parable, of the unjust judge in Luke 18. Then he, Jesus, spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, to have perseverance, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet, and we could insert there, even I, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, even I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not, and now again I shall insert words, and therefore shall surely not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them. Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? We pray. We pray at all times. We pray with all manner of prayer. And we pray with all perseverance. We must pray with all perseverance. And the final of the four alls, still in verse 18. We are to pray to this end with all perseverance. And Paul continues on, supplication for all the saints. For all the saints. We do not, as we enter into battle, we do not pray for ourselves only. If we did, then not only would we all fail, but we ourselves individually would fail. We do not pray for ourselves only, but like the army that marches into battle in unison, in lockstep, one with the other, we also march into battle praying with the armor of God, but praying and praying for one another. And in that way, I'm going to suggest two things happen. Two things happen. First of all, we multiply, if I can use this way of expressing it, we multiply one another's, everyone's prayer support. That we are all praying for you. And you are praying for all of us. And we multiply our prayer support. But there's a second reason why this is so important, that we pray for all the saints. And I think the second reason is the more important one, is that more significantly, it is more likely that we will remain united together as we pray one for the other. What is the well-known phrase that is used to describe a strategy that is used in various situations, and it is described as, and is used in military situations, if you will, as perhaps one of the most effective military strategies. What is that common phrase that we hear? Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Satan would love to do that. Satan would love to divide and conquer. But we must not let that happen. And when we pray, that is much less likely to happen. When we are praying in all manner of prayer, when we are praying with all perseverance, and especially as we are praying with supplication for all the saints, all the saints. We continue on as Paul continues on. And actually, as we continue on, I need to circle back slightly, back to that all perseverance that I talked about earlier, because there's another word there that I want you to note, because it's important. And that is the word keep alert in your Bibles, or in my New King James, be watchful. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance. Keep alert. I think the ESV says, my New King James, be watchful to this end with all perseverance. Paul is still talking about our prayers here. When he's speaking of being watchful, being alert, he's still talking about prayer. Note that. This is not a new topic that we've moved on to, or Paul has moved on to. Rather, he's still talking about prayer. He's telling us in our prayer, we need to be alert. We need to be watchful in our prayer. We need to be watchful. But again, as I like to do, I ask the question immediately, but why? Why is that important? Why is that important that we be alert and watchful? Well, for the answer to that, I think we need to circle back even further and circle back to the context of this passage that we considered in the introduction. What was the context? What was the command? The overarching command, the overarching message of this? Stand. Stand. Be strong and stand. And therefore, further on down, as we reach, be alert in your prayers. Be watchful in your prayers. I think the answer to why Paul is telling us to be watchful, be alert, is to be found in the context of that overarching command that we are to stand. And I think what is going on here is the following. When Paul says to be alert, he is warning us not to assume we will stand. Don't assume. Don't assume you will stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. What does the Old Testament wisdom literature say again and again? Pride comes before a fall. So I think here when Paul says, be alert in your prayers, keep watchful in your prayers, he's saying, remember what I'm telling you here, to stand. And so therefore, don't assume automatically that you will stand. Now please, I need to immediately insert a little parenthetical insertion here. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. No one here, least of all myself, no one here is questioning the keeping power of God. I am not questioning that. You will never hear me question that. God will keep his own. This past Tuesday, our Tuesday evening Bible study care group was studying Philippians. And after 3 weeks, we finally reached verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. But it's a wonderful verse that I know you know. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He will be faithful to complete it. No one's questioning the keeping power of God. Likewise, we have spent many, many months previous to this short series in the Gospel of John, and most recently in John chapter 10. Just a few months ago, we heard the following in John 10, 28 and 29, and I give them eternal life to his sheep, and they shall never perish, never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. 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 Praise be to God. No one here is questioning the keeping power of God, but rather, at the same time, scriptures also, I think on this occasion and in other occasions, warn us, do not presume upon God's grace. Do not presume. Do not presume, but as Paul says elsewhere in the verse that I quoted already and will quote again, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Keep alert. Keep watchful. Don't be like Demas, in other words. Don't be like Demas. Demas was one who was present with Paul when Paul was in prison. And Paul, as he writes the letter to the Colossians in Colossians 4, speaks of Demas, who was with him there. But a little later, in Paul's last epistle, in 2 Timothy, Demas has forsaken me. Having loved this present world. Well, that'll never happen to me. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be watchful. Keep alert. Don't be like Demas. Don't be like Hymenaeus and Alexander. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. They rejected their faith. They indeed, in Paul's words, tragic words, made shipwreck of their faith. Well, that'll never happen to me. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be watchful. Keep alert. One more. The thorns and the thorny soil. In the parable of the sower, the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13, this was the soil in which other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked out those plants that had germinated and seemed to be growing wonderfully, but then were choked out. As Jesus says and explains, this soil represents the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Well, that'll never happen to me. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Be watchful, be alert. In your prayer, be alert, be watchful. Be watchful to this end, Paul says, with all perseverance. But as we move on now to the final verses, verses 19 through 20, our prayer is not only, if I can say this, defensive, making sure that we are able to stand despite the attacks that come at us, for they will come. They do come. They are coming. But our prayer is not only in light of and helps us in that way, in the defensive way, but also, if I can use the term, in an offensive way. In verse 19, not only pray for all the saints, verse 18, the latter part, but also continuing on in 19, and for me, Paul says, pray for me. All supplication for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Remember, Paul writes the letter to the Ephesians from a Roman prison. What is his request as he is in prison? The one thing that he asks for there in prison is that words would be given to him. That utterance, my New King James says, that words, the ESV says, may be given to me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Literally. But also chains in the sense, as he goes on to speak, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, as I am bound to speak. Literally it says there. As I speak, as I ought to speak, as I am bound to speak. That was Paul's one request for himself as he is imprisoned there in Roman prison, that he would have boldness as he speaks forth the gospel. Likewise, for each one of us, our prayer needs to be, for we also are ambassadors in chains, perhaps not literally, but we are ambassadors for Christ, that in it we may speak boldly as we ought to, as we are bound to speak. This past week, days ago, I was called into a situation with an individual who was in extremely bad health in the hospital. An individual that I didn't know of before the time, certainly didn't know personally at all. This individual had days to live. I was asked to come to the hospital and to minister to this individual, which I gladly did. However, along the way, and thankfully, and I say this with utter and sincere thankfulness, I'm so thankful to the ladies who just, note the quotation marks, happened to be entering into their prayer time on Tuesday morning and Tuesday afternoon. And through Bev, I believe it was communicated to them. No details. But prayer went up for me. What sort of prayer? Prayer that I might be given utterance, given the words, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to, as I need to speak. Friday, that person was gone from this world. I saw them Tuesday, I saw them again Wednesday. And my hope is now that those gospel words that I did utter forth, whatever words were given to me, and those gospel words that I communicated there to an individual who could hear me but could not really respond to me in any way, that those gospel words took root for eternity. That is why we pray. That is why we gathered in the library at 10 o'clock this morning to pray for the ministry of the word this morning. That is why some of us will gather at 8 o'clock somewhere here next Saturday to pray for the ministry of the word, not only here, but on Tuesdays with the ladies, on Tuesday evenings in our Bible study, in the youth Bible studies, in the Sunday school taking place downstairs. On all of these occasions, and I'm leaving out some, I know. On all of these occasions, and over, and also on the occasion, as I like to say, at Tim Hortons, and over the backyard fence, that utterance might be given to us, to all of us, to speak boldly the gospel. In conclusion, against principalities and powers, let me remind you, I'm hopeful that I don't need to remind you of this, but I will nonetheless, that this is important, but it's more than that. It's vital. It's eternally vital, these words from the Apostle Paul this morning. Eternally vital in so many ways, but primarily eternally vital. Why? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's why. That's why it's eternally important, eternally vital. On occasion, I've made mention of lessons I've learned, or as I like to tweak it, maybe there's an element of pride here. And I shouldn't say this way. I like to say, not lessons that I've learned, but lessons that I've been reminded of, but maybe I've learned them as well. But lessons I've learned since I've become a pastor. And I've mentioned this on occasion, these lessons on occasion. There are a few. And I've mentioned this one on occasion, but I mention it again. Because really, drilled down into me, the lesson that has been drilled down into me the most, I think, over the last 4.5 years has been this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Craig and everyone else, put on the armor of God. Therefore, Craig and everyone else, pray. Pray all. Pray. That lesson has been drilled into me more than any other. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And therefore we must pray at all times, in all ways, with all perseverance for all the saints. We must pray in order that we might stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray to that end simply but truly just now. We pray that we would be strong. We pray that we would stand. We would pray that we would take on and wear at all times the armor of God. But most, Father, we think just now, in light of what we have been considering, may we do so prayerfully. May we pray at all times. May we be a church that not only has a value statement regarding prayer and the importance of prayer, but may we live out every moment of our lives, even as you have taught me, even as the reality of this has come home to me in recent years, in recent months, in recent days. Father, may this be true of myself. May it be true of the leaders, each one, of Fellowship Baptist Church. May it be true of Fellowship Baptist Church that we truly are a people of the Word and a people of prayer. May it be so in Christ's name. Amen.